Same book, number 49, Rain Down. Number 49. And let's stand in body and or spirit. Thank you.
Good morning. This year, our theme has been On the Way with Jesus, and we've explored what it means to be on this journey of life from many different perspectives. Today is a bittersweet day in the journey of Walnut Hill Mennonite Church, a day of letting go. It's Jane Stolzfus Bowler's last day as pastor with us. To many, this might feel like an end of a journey, or that one of our beloved companions on the path is leaving us. Some are probably saying, it's about time. Sorry, Jane, I had to get one last one in.
But really, this is just a point in our journey where our paths diverge. We hope that those paths will cross in the future and maybe even rejoin at some point. While it is sad for us to see Jane go, we are also excited for her and look forward to seeing what the future holds for her. If we know Jane, there's no telling what kind of adventures are around the corner in her journey.
What we know for sure is that we have been through a lot together. Jane and Jim have been a very significant part of the Walnut Hill journey. Jane has been pastor here for 25 years. Looking around this morning, there are many of us in this room that don't know what Walnut Hill looks like without her. A lot has happened in that time. Jane has grown and changed, and Walnut Hill has changed too. We as individuals have all been shaped by Jane's leadership and teaching.
Today, we will be hearing stories of Jane and how she has impacted people on the way. Roger Miller and Xin Yi have been invited to share how Jane has influenced their faith formation. And at lunch, everyone will have an opportunity to share stories of Jane as well, so be thinking of those. As I have thought about the ways Jane has had an impression on Walnut Hill, I have realized that we are a changed community, a better people, for having Jane's leadership for all these years. Because of Jane, we are a community that
is more intentional,
can have difficult discussions,
can laugh and have fun,
uses more inclusive language,
has been mentored into worship leaders and song leaders,
is more aware of what God is doing in our hearts,
sees scripture through new eyes,
has traveled and seen the world through new relationships,
has found redemption through family systems theory,
has put faith into action in the neighborhood,
has a renewed community through a new church leadership structure, moving from church council to ministry teams,
has learned from a non-anxious presence as we have had multiple changes in leadership.
So while we're letting go this morning, we do have much to be thankful for. We are thankful for what Jim and Jane have brought to Walnut Hill and how God has worked through them to shape us. As we gather on this bittersweet morning, we want to remember that God has blessed us so much as a community. So let's join together in praising God with our call to worship this morning. It's based on Psalm 111.
Praise the Lord. In the company of the saints above and beside us, let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Great are the works of the Lord, full of honor and majesty, whose righteousness endures forever.
The Lord is gracious and merciful. The work of God's hands are faithful and just.
God's covenant is established forever in truth and justice.
Our redemption is in the name of our Lord.
Holy and awesome is God's name in all the earth.
Let's pray. God of love, we remember that you are with us in every transition and every change. As we let go this morning with sadness and some anxiety, we feel your compassion, your presence, and your abounding love. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Be with us as we move forward, rejoicing with you and supporting one another. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. We will continue to praise God in song.
We will be singing four songs, and I will definitely encourage you to stand for the last two. So for these first two, you may either sit or stand as feels most comfortable to you. We will start with "Spirit, Open My Heart," which will be projected on the wall.
Spirit,
we'll sing next "Mother and God," as we again remember, as was stated earlier, how Jane has brought more inclusive language into our congregation.
Thank you.
24, My Soul Cries Out. Number 124, You May Stand in Body and or Spirit. Same book, number 22. 55. And we will split up in two halves. So right down the middle, this side will do the bottom line, and that side will do the top line.
Thank you. Oh, the gift of music, right? Well, I've been tasked with coming up with some thoughts, some words of appreciation for Jim, as we recognize that he has been a part of Jane's ministry here at Walnut Hill. And so I came up with five things. There's more, but I limited it to five, Jim. And I'm going to start with number one. Jim, your love is extreme. And often we see Jim's love for the Lord your God, right? We see it for many people. We see his love for a team or a sport. And we definitely see it in boating as well. And you've come a long way since flipping that boat at Amigo a few dozen times. So I'd like to see that. As Walnut Hill would like to offer you for your boat this guest book. And it's going to be down in the fellowship hall. So after the service here, if you, Walnut Hill, would like to go down, and you won't be going onto the boat, obviously, but if you would like to offer some words of appreciation, encouragement for Jim so that he can see this on his boat, I'm sure he would appreciate that. Two, Jim, you are a good storyteller. Even, I would say, on par with Roger Miller. So good. The first story I actually heard from Jim involved a rattlesnake that was about the size of Ada, and it was just inches away from his face in the wild. And nobody cares if the details have changed slightly. What's the purpose of a story anyway, right? To tell us boring details or to entertain, right? And I'm losing track here. I think I'm on three. Jim, you're fun to be around. When Kelsey and I started attending Walnut Hill here, she graciously told me that we could look for other churches, you know, out of respect for me coming to a new place. And I said, no, that's okay. We can try out Walnut Hill. I'd like to experience that. And it was Jim and Jane both early on that pulled me in. And I'm happy to be a part of Walnut Hill. Have them to thank for it, for sure. And four, Jim has single-handedly, or probably took two hands, to get Walnut Hill's theme song going, right? Love the Lord your God. Hearing Jim belt out that chorus has brought me much joy, and I'm sure for many of you as well. And five here. Behind every great man is a great woman. Right? I think there's some serious problems with that statement. Okay? But I'm gonna flip it, look at the inverse, and change some things a little bit. Behind this great woman is a great man. Jane has had a very special ministry here that has impacted me, Kelsey, the Miller family, this congregation, so much so that I think it will even have lasting effects on Ada as she grows up. And I think it's important that we remember the often overlooked behind-the-scenes support of husband Jim in Jane's ministry. Jane has had lots of great, unique, creative ideas that have offered some logistical challenges over the years. And Jim is always willing to get the right projector, to gather the materials, to pull any resources together so that Jane's ultimate vision can become a reality. I sometimes think about Jane as the architect coming up with these beautiful designs, and Jim is her engineer without complaint, working behind the scenes to make it happen. There is Jim's willingness to accept Jane's request to read scripture, lead music, play a part in a skit, and sometimes she even would give him more warning than 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm sure that Jim has been a sounding board for Jane's ideas. I'm sure that he's been there for her to give her space when that is needed, or to comfort her when that is needed as well. Jane has a sincerity, a passion for people and justice. She has a desire to keep on learning. There are few people who can match that, but I do think Jim is one of them. Jim, we thank you for the gifts that you have brought to Walnut Hill. But on this day, when we are thinking of Jane's ministry, when that's in the front of our thoughts, I want to recognize the support that you have given to Jane. Thank you. You have filled the role of pastor's spouse beautifully, and you have helped Jane's ministry be even brighter.
I promised Rachel that Dawn had vetted this speech so there was no funny in it. But I thought it'd be appropriate that before we sing, before I start speaking, that we sing a song we don't know. But will make us feel very guilty. All right, here we go. I love to ride bikes, bicycles. I love it. I started riding bikes back when my children were very young. I bought a bike from Hollander's bike shop. I moved to a bike, family bike shop, and bought a cross bike and started riding that bike. It weighed about 50 pounds and was a beast on the road, but I rode it and I loved biking. One day my son and I were riding and he said, "You know, Dad, there are other better bikes out there." Really? Yeah, they're much easier to ride. You would love them. I suggest you go to see Spencer at Pumpkin Vine Biker Shop over in Middlebury and have him set you up with a good bike. So I did. I went over to talk to Spencer, and Spencer said, "Okay, here's four bikes for you to try out." And I tried the first one, and oh my goodness, it was great. I loved it. But at his insistence, I rode all four bikes, and I picked the last one then, which I found was a lot better bike, was a lot nicer bike, and surprisingly the most expensive one. I rode this bike a lot, and over a course of time, I would ride it to Middlebury, which with my old bike was a major undertask, but with this bike, I could ride to Middlebury just to go talk to Spencer about bikes. And one day while we were talking, he said, "You know, you really like this bike, and it's a lot better than the bike you had before, but I got to tell you, there's another one out there that is even better, and you'd love to ride it even more." Well, I laughed, Spencer laughed, Dawn laughed. Spencer said, "After I rode this bike for 2,000 miles and really got used to it, really got my hands on it, could really feel the bike, that I would then fully be able to appreciate this new bike that I was going to get." And so I bought it. 18 months later, I had a new bike, and it was incredible. It was smooth. It was very, very smooth. It was so smooth that I thought the tires were flat the first time I rode it. I enjoyed the bike a lot, and it is a very incredible bike, and I often get to it in the mornings to start riding and apologize to it for not being able to make it go any faster or do any more performance than what it can. I often offered to let Don Graves ride it so that it would be able to do what it could do. The reason I believed Spencer when he told me that is because Spencer lives bikes. He loves bikes. He rides bikes every day. He knows everything there is to know about how to fix bikes, how to put bikes together. And he knows how for you to learn your body's telling you what it is about you that you need to learn for your body to perform well while you're riding bikes. So when Spencer said there was a better bike out there, I believed him and I bought it. So on. One afternoon in church, down in the basement, Jane and I were having lunch together. We're out of the blue. Typical conversation for lunch. She said, "Roger, how are you and God getting along?" Jane, God is very good to me. I like him a lot. He and I are getting along quite well. Thank you very much. Jane said, "Well, you know what? If you really want to, I think there's a better God that you could get to know, and I would like to show you the way. So Jane became my Spencer, and I took her advice and started listening to her. And I listened to her for quite a while, but I get more out of watching people than I do out of listening to people. People talk a lot, but they don't live often what they talk. Jane does, and I appreciated that. And so after I saw that Jane was getting along quite well with her God, I thought, well, I'll try it out, and I did. The song Image of God Moving took on a different theme for me when we sang it, and I really appreciated that song. I guess in the mornings when I wake up, I should apologize to God now for not being able to work with her better. Here are some things that Jane has specifically helped me in my formation. As a role of pastor in telling me what she believes, she allows me to work my own way through the thoughts and the processes. She has taught me to ask questions and is willing to listen and to help me search for the answers. Jane has helped me to see that even though I believe I was not prejudiced, that there were still prejudices within me, and that my white culture kept me from understanding fully the struggles of the powerless. She has helped me through the confrontations we had, not only with being the prejudices, but also with the LGBTQ community and how to deal with gender inequality. I will work on these for a long time. I still am working, but I appreciate the fact that she is gently led me into this process and is helping me through it. I appreciate that Jane is very vulnerable and also struggles with her own issues and is somewhat insecure sometimes, but is able and is willing to listen to criticism, counsel from others, and take it to heart. She truly lives what she preaches.
Pants than you can in a dress. So I'm going to sit on this chair. You know, every one of you has a number of beings that are in there. And like Roger was talking about, over life, we develop ourselves. We want them to be cohesive. I know you don't know that word, but anyway. We want them to be all together in us. But we all have different personas or persons or people in us. So today, we're naming the end of one of my roles as a person. Now, you see these shoes? I don't wear them very often. I think of them as my pastor shoes. I wear them when I marry people, or when I do funerals, or when I preach, when I'm kind of dressed up. I don't always wear them when I'm doing pastor things, but these are my pastor shoes. And today, I'm probably going to take them off for a while. I'm not going to be a pastor at Walnut Hill anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to be somebody. Why, I've got all kinds of shoes I am. I mean, these are my hiking shoes. These are the shoes I wore through Ireland a few years ago on sabbatical. I love these shoes just because of the memories they bring me. And I am somebody who likes to be outdoors and be hiking and see what God does in creation. So these are very, very important shoes, and they say something of what I am and what I'm going to continue to be. Now, these are my walking and running shoes. I have to replace these every year or so because they wear out. I go out and walk and run a lot. I'm not going to give up these shoes. I'm still going to be the walker and the runner that I've always been before. And here, these shoes are my garden shoes. I love these because in the morning when the ground is all wet and dewy, I put these on and my feet don't get wet. My stockings don't get wet if I'm wearing them. And I love to garden. I'm going to continue to be a gardener. And I really would be happy if any of you want to come over to my house and see my gardens. I like to show them, even when they're weedy. I'm proud of them. And these here are the shoes that I often wear when Jim and I go boating, because you can get in the water with these, and you can not slip and slide on the boat. And Jim and I like to go on the boat. He likes to go on the boat more than me, and at more often times than I do, but I do like to go on the boat. And how many of you have been on the boat? A few of you have been on a boat. Maybe some
of... I've been on this boat a lot of times.
All right. Well, maybe sometime some of you can come and be on our boat with us sometimes, because we are sailors, and I'm going to continue to be a little bit of a sailor. And these are my everyday shoes. Well, whenever I like go to the brew or walk around town or whatever, I often wear these everyday shoes, the things that we do in our everyday. We always have shoes that you probably wear to school or whatever. So these, and I'm going to keep wearing these. Now here, I brought these along. These are my house shoes. They're not very comfortable and I don't do much. So I'll probably sit on the rocker a lot and wear these shoes in these days. But all of these shoes, all of the people that I am, I'm going to continue to be that person. But my pastoring shoes, I'm setting aside. That doesn't mean that I don't care and love you. I'm going to keep loving you and caring for you. And I've enjoyed so much watching you grow up and seeing who you're becoming and thinking about what is learning about Andrea and Daphne and how to tell them apart and seeing the differences between each one of you. And I'm going to continue to do that. I'm not going to be at church for a while. And Jim isn't going to be at church either. But it doesn't mean that we don't want to see you. And so maybe there'll be times when you might come over and be in our yard or be on the boat, or we'll do something together as friends, not as pastor. Now, all of you, I've emptied out my office. I'm going to give my key away today. Some of you recognize that I used to have some candy in my office, and I felt pretty generous. You could come in and get it. And so today, I decided as a parting gift, I'd give you a little bit of chocolate, because I love chocolate. If you don't want to eat it, that's fine. But you can take it. And these are doves. And the reason I got them is because sometimes they have little love remarks. So there'll be something that you can love. So take a couple, okay? Should have it in a row, but you can take it on back. If you want to trade, trade. Okay? And remember, you're beloved children of God, and I will always love you. You can go back to your place. If you want different ones, you just have to trade, okay? You can go back. Oh, sorry.
As a time to give back, I invite the ushers forward to do the offering. us take a moment to breathe and then pray. Breath of life, we thank you for the ways that you have blessed us. We thank you for the gifts that we have to offer back to you. We pray that you would take these gifts of money, of music, of words, of love, and use them for your glory, for the world to see, and for you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jane's role in my faith formation is like the caregiver who guided me from infancy to toddlerhood. When I was baptized, I chose to sing the hymn, Guide My Feet. A year later, God brought Theo and I to Walnut Hill. Since then, God has used Jane to guide my feet and hold my hands as I toddle my way in this spiritual race. I was fearful and even ashamed to disclose my spiritual history. Okay. No, I've never heard of Mennonite until I came to Goshen College. No, I was not brought up in a Christian home. Yes, I grew up worshiping idols. When Jane found out about that, you can imagine how her interest has peaked. She respected my faith journey, guided my hands to embrace my past, as Theo and I had premarital counseling with her. As I started cruising, she let go of one hand when she mentored me to share my testimonies on living in a foreign land and on my baptismal story. She then let go of both hands but still guided my feet when she mentored me to co-lead worship series with Nadine. Now that I'm walking, Jane often looks at me intently and asks, "What do you think about that?" As if I have something important to give. At book club, Jane often poses the question, "Where is Jesus in this story?" Now, mind you, we mostly read fictional stories that have no Christianity theme on it. Nonetheless, this simple question challenges me to find Jesus in every little nuances. A challenge that keeps haunting me is that if God is present around us, where is God when children are being abused? Is God merely watching the abuse? Jane validated my challenge, and of course, true to Jane's style, she recommended me a book to read. All in all, thank you, Jane, for holding my hands, guiding my feet, letting go, and teaching me how to walk in God's race.
Jonna was asked to read scripture, but she's a little concerned about her emotionality. I had played around with thinking about reading it anyway. It's a beautiful text. I chose it as words that I think I can also say. So here, the words of Paul in the Philippians as words that I also sense and feel. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. This isn't my word, but both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my heart and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. Amen. You never know, you know, when the emotion's going to hit you, so forgive me. I always give thanks for you. First of all, I give thanks that you put your trust in me, even though you know all my craziness. Because I was a member here for 11 years before I became a pastor. I know this is true because of three loving brothers who, over the earliest years, took me aside and shared their perceptions of who I was in a loving and caring way, or at least I took that in a loving and caring way. Thank you, Ted and Norm and Bob. And I also know this is true because of you, Roger Miller, and because of the ways that you employ humor about me at times. And one of the telling ones was after the sermon where I taped my mouth shut and had the video scrolling through all the male authors and writers and theologians, and down in the fellowship hall, Roger Miller said, as reported to me by Jim, "Well, now we know how to shut Jane up." Or the youth over the years who kept me on my toes, who didn't let me say too much without some kind of backing. I have one memory of AJ, but I can't remember what he said. But thank you, AJ, for all the ways that you kept me under line here. Yeah, I was kind of crazy. Many times I knew that you were bearing with me. Forbearance. Trusting in the good work of God in me. I give thanks for you. I also give thanks for you for your putting your trust in me when I wasn't at all sure about myself, as Roger has already noted. You were supportive and encouraging. Steve Thomas, in his supportive way, all through our years together, but especially in the beginning, I found so helpful. And then he made it concrete by helping the church to recognize that we were a team, and that I should have more compensation to show it. Dave Gauci, in his quiet way, was an encouragement. Char, you have stepped up so many times. Jane Miller, Rachel, Evelyn, Jean, Ruth, some of the many good people here. And many of you blessed me with notes of encouragement. And I have a stack of them that I am going to pull out and reread over the next year. Ruth, Nancy Kostak, Linda Heiser, Linda Thomas, Jean Mast. I don't remember too many men that wrote me. I think Elvie did. I give thanks for you all. And I also give thanks for you for putting your trust in me when I didn't plan ahead too well. And you helped me learn it by writing it in my evaluations. That, as well as not saying yes to my last-minute invitation, so I had to learn to ask earlier and get things going on time. I had a running list in my head. I still have it. Who can I ask early, and who can I ask at the last minute? So, Roger Miller, I could ask you at the last minute, because in some ways you fly by the seat of your pants, too. And, of course, Jim, Jess, and Jonna saved me over and over again. But others, too. I mean, Rick and Rachel, Lisa Gauci, oftentimes. Ruth, too, could step in. And the youth, I found they were so willing. Of course, they didn't want to plan ahead either. So, whatever. And you, who taught me to ask early and grew me in that direction, dare I name you? Dawn would be one, the exact opposite of Roger. Evelyn and Roger, Wes and Karen, Jean Mast, Barb Thomas, an early teacher, Arloa. You helped me by letting me understand people are different and we all work on our own time. I give thanks for you all. And I think I became a better person because I started to plan a little bit more too. I also give thanks for you for putting your trust in me to walk with your young adults and the youth here. That is a huge trust, let me tell you. You talked with me sometimes about the concerns that you had about my work with your children. And you also talked with me about the concerns that you had with your children. And through that conversation, I learned we were partners in this together. We were raising spiritually oriented children together. And in that, you lived with my biases about growing a personal faith that wasn't necessarily just like yours. I remember when a group of us, and I think Lisa Gauci and Jason Rhiannon might be part of that, when we developed our mission statement, our, what did we call it, our youth educational statement, and we had in that the idea and or the words about our desire to develop a first-hand faith in our children. It was a very important document and guideline for me and the ministry that we did together. And then you who partnered with me as sponsors, I want to name you. You were many, and you offered yourselves to the youth along with me in beautiful ways and accompanied them on their faith journey. Brian and Janice, Rolf Kautze, Jan and Vicky for many years, Keith Yoder, Lisa and Dave, Mark and Georgia, Don Graves, Hannah Livengood, Bob and Carolyn, Zook, Marcia Powell, and of course you, Jim. I hope I didn't miss anybody. We are all living testimonies to what it means to follow Jesus in the world today. You were so important. And it was also a way for me to establish and deepen relationships with adults in the congregation. And that was such a gift for me. I always give thanks for you all, and I remember with a deep sense of satisfaction and joy the baptism services and the faith statements that we heard and shared in. We delighted in making baptisms a reflection of the life and the loves of each person. Many of you helped make them special. Yes, most of our youth waited until they were somewhat older, and that was my bias, but not all. Some have waited and come back and said, I want to be baptized now, after experiencing the world a little. What joy that was, and how delicious was our worship together. Some still have yet to make that decision, and so we continue to pray for them. But all are special people that we love to see as they come back and join us here at Walnut Hill. And I also give thanks for you for trusting me when I took them out of your world and into other worlds. Our service trips or conventions, what fun we had, mostly. But what a great learning time, experiencing life from other points of view and other realities. with thinking, what is Jesus asking of us? So many memories. From sitting in Atlanta, Georgia, between the moneyed sector and the homeless people in the park, and learning about some of the dynamics of our economic system, to helping with MDS in Louisiana after the hurricanes hit, or dancing around on the roofs of the swap clients in Kentucky, listening and questioning the border patrolmen in Bronzeville, Texas, a very eye-opening experience. And my first serious experience with the Native American culture when we went to Farmington with many of you. And then relating to wounded youth in Colorado. A couple of you, Bob and Margo, chose to just go along with us for the fun of it. What a wonderful thing. I hope the youth and the sponsors were as blessed by them as I was. I give thanks for so many things about my 25 years here as pastor. And now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, will continue it in you. And what work is that? Well, it's the work of being God's hands and feet in the world. When this community was established, it was located in this neighborhood for a reason. God's hands and feet were needed here. And though over the course of our history, it's been up and down in our relationship with the neighborhood here, we've had really strong moments. I mean, I wasn't pastor, but think of the Walnut Hill Daycare and its longevity. I just want to mention that. Or when I was here and pastor, the Hesed House that we worked, and especially Deb Kautza worked tirelessly to establish. How it went, we left it in God's hands, and we're grateful for what the ministry was there. And I remember, too, that I used to kind of chomp at the bit in the beginning, especially when I was less time and working with Steve. And I'd say, Steve, we really need to be more active in our community. And finally, a couple times, he said, well, go for it then, Jane. He said, I'm doing other things, you know, and he was. He was doing relevant things, too. And that's another way we have talked about being God's hands and feet here. Each of us have said we're hands and feet in our daily work and the jobs where we perform daily things. And I would especially note some of the great stories that I've heard as you've shared with me about your work life and the way that being a follower of Jesus makes a difference. Enos, you especially touched my heart many times as you shared about how do I live the way I want to live, managing these people or doing this in the factory. And also, I would share that I was always really impressed, Wes and Karen and Steve's commitment to the work of peacemaking on top of full-time jobs. It was pretty impressive to me. And so I give a shout out to you. I also am aware that our SALT trips, which is sharing and learning together trips, was a work that God began in us a long time. My first year of pastoring here, 94, started pastoring. We went to Belize as our first SALT trip. But each time when we would get ready to go to a new place and open up to what God might teach us in that place, I would ask, now, what do you think is going to happen? And there would be some trepidation a little bit, but I was always so impressed with the ways that I was taught and the learning and the experience that was ours as a group. It wasn't only that getting along as a short-term community living together was hard, but just the exploring the world as ambassadors for Christ as we set out to learn and share. I just read an article in the Yes magazine about how people might rethink vacations in the world. And as I read the article, I realized we've been doing this for a long time. Many of my vacations were partly SALT trip, and then our family might have gone other places, but we were connected to the SALT trips. And the value we planned for and the experience we sought were just what was written about in this article. We didn't seclude ourselves on a vacation resort that created low-paying jobs for a few native people, or created trash and did little recycling, or brought in rich food for the paying guests while those around them had little, and also benefited the owners who probably live miles and oceans away. We didn't do that. What did we do? Instead, we chose to work beside people from the areas we traveled to. We lived in churches, in homes. We saw an experience that taught us about the world in a way that encouraged open-eyed faith, sharing, and some service. Arloa, thank you for being one of the main organizers of these very important experiences for us over the years. And thank you for all who joined us on those trips. I am confident that God will continue to bring to conclusion the work that is among you. And then so important, I think, the work that God is doing in each of us. And thank you for testifying to this, Roger, as we grow and learn and change and are transformed by the Spirit of God. Opening up hearts and minds to understand the world and the times we are in. One of my go-to scriptures right now is Luke 12:56, and other gospels also write this and report Jesus saying, "You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Salt helped open our eyes for sure, and our understanding, and set us or kept us on a path that sought to understand our times in relationship to the gospel of good news for all people that Jesus brought and is still bringing. My heart warmed when I saw the commitment in the Peace and Justice class to work at understanding our white privilege over the course of a year. In a constructive way. Arlo and Jolene and their work in MMN especially come to mind when I think about that. Jess, MCC, but others have committed to thinking and learning about what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a world that isn't just. Evelyn and Roger, Jane Miller, BJ, Dan and Lynn, Janice, Linda, Enid, all kind of a core group around this peace and justice emphasis. But others joined us, Wes and Karen, Marcia, William, Sharon, Brian, Rick and Rachel, and others. Teo came in. Xin Yi has been part of it. I give thanks for you all as we sought together to learn about the present time so we can interpret the good news today. And I am confident that God will continue this good work among you. And I have to also say that the good work I name among us is the congregational experience and what I would call training in dialogue and conversation, talking. We grew in our capacity for dialogue, as Dan Miller often invited at conference levels, through our cafes, through our difficult discussions, through our conversations, and the work of discernment together. I was often positively impacted and sometimes surprised, might I say, at the depth of thought and work I heard in some of our conversations, particularly as I remember the cafe on the gender of God. More of us recognize the limitations of a God that is named in only male terms and invited and helped us move into using a range of metaphors that were biblical, yes, and names for God that helped us see the greatness of the God we worship and the wideness, I guess. Wrestling with the concept of atonement was another conversation I found very invigorating and growing. Racism and immigration, especially when the state of Indiana was kind of taking a turn to be kind of closed. And the inclusion of the marginalized people such as the LGBTQ community. As a congregation, we've made mistakes. No doubt, we are not perfect, and we can get better. But I'm confident that God will continue the good work among you. And finally, I point to Nadine's willingness to take on worship coordinator a few years back and bringing her gifts to this work. She set us on a path, I don't know if you know this, but of yearly worship themes. And I personally have been richly blessed by the work of creative, spiritual, and worship-invested members of this community. The Holy Spirit has worked among us as we planned for our worship times over the past years. Rich in diversity, grace, and word, wrestling together as the gifts of the leaders were gleaned for the fruit they brought. Often surprised by the outcomes. Worship has been enriching for me, and I hope it has for you. Stands out in the last while are Brent and Adam. Thank you, Brent and Adam. Mr. Roger and Mr. Toolkit Guy. Rachel, Shar, and Linda led us in a wonderful Lenten experience a couple years ago. Jess, the Zumfeldies, Roger and Evelyn, Alicia, Jana, Jean, Mash, Shin Yi, Rick and Rachel, Jim, Janice, Brian, Jason, Rand. I could go on and on. So many of you helping, visuals or singing or whatever the gifts you brought, made it a good place to come on a Sunday morning. Young adults, too, who joined us for a short time were invited to help, and I always thought that was such a wonderful thing. Worship is the backbone of the community. I think we've done it well together. And I am confident that God will continue the good work among you. And so today, my last Sunday as your pastor. I'm using your idea, Adam. As your pastor, this is my prayer. That your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is good. As I leave this role of pastor, I will continue to pray for you. A few years ago, we started to use the verse, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, as a formative verse for our congregation. In my opinion, it still is, as Jesus said, the foundation of all the law and the prophets. Love. One series, we actually use love as our reference to God or our name for God. I still think it works. There is no greater thing than love. In our challenging time of division, I give a shout out for those who have loved through the challenge of difference, of opinion, and even belief. You who have loved beyond difference are a gift for our community. Thank you. And so my word to you now as I leave is this. Give yourself to love. You can take that as meaning give yourself to God. Give yourself to something way greater than yourself. Give yourself to divinity, to the divine one, the holy one, the creator of all things. Give yourself to the beginning and the end, and give yourself to the incarnate one who walks among us. Give yourself. Or you can take it to mean to actually give yourself to learning to love. Learn to love. Love well. Love fully. Love now and later. Love beyond yourself. Do all things out of love. Remember, love is patient and kind, not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. And so I say to you, give yourself to love. Kind friends all gathered here, there's something I would say. Love has but what brings other here has blessed us on the way. Love has made a circle that keeps us all inside. Strangers are as family, and loneliness can't hide. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your heart to tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Love is born in fire. It's planted like a seed. Love can't give you everything, but it'll give you what you need. Love comes when you're ready. It comes when you're afraid. It'll be your greatest teacher, the best friend you've ever made. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your heart to tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. I say give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your heart to tears and laughter, and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love.
Thank you.
We have two songs of response. First, in your green, sing The Journey, number 108. Give thanks for life. We also, in this song, give thanks for those who come among us into our lives and for what they give to us. And we remember and give thanks for Jim and Jane and what they have given us. Number 108, green, sing The Journey. and also in this book, number 22, By the Waters of Babylon, Song of Lament, and also we note in the final line, So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Jane's words.
God, you have made your home. anoint you with tears. I love will go with you to melt every fear. As you have shared with us the showing of sheaves, so too all you planted will bear fruit indeed. As your journey unfolds all your dreams, the whole of the earth will be blessed by you. In God you have made your home. The stars will dance as they call out your name. Your heart always laughing with joy. Your heart always laughing with joy. Your name on our lips, in our minds, a treasure not measured by distance or time. For love is as wide and immense as the sea, and each grain of the sand gives us strength to believe that our friendship is now and forever. The whole of the earth will be blessed by you. In God you have made your home. The stars will dance as they call out your name. Your heart always laughs.
Jane, would you please come up? So, we are not the three wise men and women, and we don't come bearing gifts of frankincense, gold, or myrrh. We are the last three chair of elders that you have worked with at Walnut Hill. Yeah. And we do come bearing the gift of blessings.
Over the 25 years that you have served as our pastor, we've watched you facilitate the sending of many blessing jars. As many people have left our congregation for various reasons.
So now it is our time to bless you. And I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to come back to my words because I don't know if I can do it without looking at my words.
It's heavy, and it's weighted with love.
On behalf of the entire congregation, we present this jar of blessings to you. Our hope is that in the coming days and weeks and months, that you'll open it up, and that the blessings will flow out of it, that you'll read them, and that you'll be reminded of our love and care for you.
We come now to a liturgy that is intended to help us move into this transition period that we are entering today. And so those of you who have part in this liturgy, feel free to come up at the appropriate time. In your bulletin, there is a litany. I'd like to ask you to turn to it. We have laughed and cried together, worshiped and prayed together. Together we have hoped, dreamed, gardened, and eaten potlucks.
Now it is time to say goodbye for a while. We say goodbye with gratitude and sadness mixed together.
In saying goodbye to Jane, we release her from responsibilities as pastor at Walnut Hill Mennonite Church.
With God's help, we release you, Jane, from your responsibilities as our pastor.
Recognizing that my retirement is real, and that I am and I will be doing other things in the coming seasons of life, I want to give my key to the office and to the church, to you as an elder, Adam. I know where to get the other one, though.
With God's help, we will keep on living God's vision for us, worshiping, working, and sharing together.
And recognizing that my pastoral job is ending here at Walnut Hill, I give this communion set. It was actually made by John Knopfinger, that we have used to worship to you, Ben. I rejoice that we were called to pastor together and wish you God's wisdom and love as you continue to lead this beloved congregation.
Now I ask you, Jane, do you release our congregation from our loyalty to you as pastor? Do you release us from turning to you and depending on you to provide pastoral ministries that we seek?
I do. With the help of God, I pray God's blessing on each person's spiritual journey, and I pray God's blessing on Walnut Hill Mennonite Church in its continued ministry.
Let us pray. Loving God, who is the great gardener and who cares deeply and wisely for all aspects of our health, we thank you for gracing us with Jane as our pastor and friend. As she is repotted today to other gardens for a time, care for her and care for us as we learn to move on without her. Gentle Spirit, walk with Jim and Jane as they move into the next season of their life. Walk with them day and night as they learn more of letting go. Wise Shepherd, lead us at Walnut Hill. Guide Ben and other pastors who will join us to wait on you and to trust you in all ways. Teach us all more of the surrender, the letting go that is needed for gratitude and living fully. And most of all, may your will be done here and everywhere on earth as it is done in heaven. Amen.
Psalm 1:1-3. Happy is she who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But her delight is in the law of the Lord, And on God's law she meditates day and night. She is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield her fruit in its season, and her leaves do not wither, and all that she does, she prospers.
The playgroup has chosen an area out on the 9/11 property for many more begonias than what we see out front here today to be planted for this season. Begonias are annuals. That means when it gets cold, they will die. And they will make room for the next thing. This represents the season of time that Jane and Jim will be gone from us as we do the work of preparing space for a new pastor. And then at some point, perhaps several years, when we are settled again, Jim and Jane may rejoin our congregation in new roles. At that point, they will be repotted one more time.